Today's episode is sponsored by Selena's Mexican Restaurant and Taqueria in Rochester, New York. Selena's is celebrating our 25th year in Rochester, and we are proud to continue offering fresh-made, Mexican-inspired recipes that are affordable and served by Rochester's best. Check out our event space for private occasions, as well as our catering menu for groups of 10 to 2,000. Looking for something different to do? Selena's hosts monthly tequila tasting classes, as well as corporate team-building seminars. Check out the website to learn more, selenas.com. SALENAS.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jazzcast Pros.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic.
I am
super
too.
Excited.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're about to share an interview with the person that has taught me more than I learned in my master's degree.
Changed my business.
And she hasn't even like charged us for the information. Like I
know.
Attend things that she's speaking at, or I just talk to her in passing and I'm like, oh my God.
Every time. And every time I see her, I learn something new, which I think is the whole world of social media.
Yeah.
It changes all the time.
So I was just reading, business.com says that 77% of small businesses use social media. And I know from our conversations in Bossy, I would estimate that 90% of that 77% have no idea if they're doing it right. But we know that everyone's online, which I looked it up and Google says it's 73% of Americans are on social media platforms and spend at least 2 hours a day on them. I want to meet the other 23%.
Yeah, right.
And wonder how they're surviving.
Exactly.
With zero social media, like zero social media. And I want to know how they're surviving. But to reach the 77% of people that are online, small businesses need to know so much about the internet and algorithms and content creation. And it drives me insane. So I
right.
always turn to Hope. And I'm like, Hope, help. Hope, help.
Hope, help. And recognizing that those trends are always changing. So having a hope in your life is so important. I was doing some research as well. And from rockcontent.com, 61% of consumers are relying on recommendations for digital influencers to make their purchase decisions, which is huge. And since this is relatively new, I mean, talking of the world of how long social media has been here, digital influencers are pretty new. So if that many people are already making their decisions based on that, it's only going to get bigger. I love it because now I actually understand what it is. Because when I first heard about Hope, who runs It Girl Friday and the local influencer tour, I was like, all I know about influencers is just like the silly memes that are out there, and there's some great Instagram pages where they're just making fun of it. So I just had no idea. And now knowing what she does and how new she's really broken into the market, because it's really still new in Rochester, but it's huge everywhere else.
Her understanding of social media and how to stay ahead of it is fascinating. Like she just has an innate understanding, and it's not innate. I mean, she works so hard for it, but she just gets it.
Yeah.
And then was able to turn that knowledge into building an online brand on top of it. So if you follow Hope on her pages, she is an influencer. She does sell. So you'll see a lot of her sales pitches and she always says like, I'm getting paid to do this.
Right.
But when you talk to her or you attend her events or her speaking events, which she will be speaking at Focus and Fortify in March in Rochester, New York, she shares those tips and tricks on how she stays ahead and what's happening. And I think every time we see her speak, something new is happening or there's a new
Absolutely.
Way to get ahead of the algorithm. So I love that about her.
Me too. I've used a lot of her stuff. I know we talked about it on the last episode a little bit with our free-spirited cocktails, and I've been able to really hone in and get so many followers and so much engagement, whether in person, online, because of the things that I've learned from her. And now I can share that with other people, not as well as her, because she is literally made to do this job. She's so engaging and fantastic. But I know that for me, it's been great to be able to kind of share some of that stuff with other people with actual data from how it's changed my business.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I love that we're going to learn how it's different. Social media marketing and influencers are not necessarily the same thing.
Nope.
And like how and when you're going to use each, which I think a lot of people don't quite understand. So I'm really excited that she's going to share that with us today.
And how to how and when to use all of the different platforms, because there are so many. Like, we have to get TikTok, and I got to get on TikTok and figure that out. I need a high schooler. If any high schoolers are listening, call me, please. Figure it out for me.
The hashtags. I always said I was going to put my kids in charge of it, but my kids have been raised kind of anti-tech for the most part. I mean, they're not hippies and off tech completely by any means, but my 14-year-old doesn't have social media. So I'm like, oh, now I have teenagers, like they can create the content for me, but they don't actually know what's out there and what they're creating because they don't really engage with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, well, I don't really want you to engage with it. So I guess I'm just going to have to keep figuring it out myself.
As we do as small business owners every day, we just keep figuring it out.
Figuring it out and then ask for help from people like Hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, we're excited for you to listen to this episode, watch this episode, and learn all about Hope and what she does, and learn about her interesting pets. It's pretty interesting, something you probably have never heard before. So definitely keep listening.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must be nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Hi, Hope. We're so glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to the basement studio.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
It's very cozy.
Excellent. Could you start by introducing yourself and your businesses?
Businesses, yeah. So my name is Hope, as you just said. I have kind of 3 businesses. I've got It Girl Friday LLC. That is the federal trademark. And then underneath that, there's like 2 sister businesses, IGF Marketing that does social media marketing, content marketing, and then Local Influencer Tour, easier just to say Lit Agency, which is influencer marketing specifically for small businesses that might not be able to afford it otherwise. So we cater to small businesses that need like cost effective, because it can get expensive.
Yes.
It can get pricey.
I love it.
I have so many questions.
Ask them all.
So let's just start with, what are 3 things that small businesses are doing wrong?
We're diving in.
I just figure let's start there and then we can go how we got started.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one is,
I'm writing these down for
myself.
Paying
for followers and engagement, likes, comments. It drives me up the wall. I have so many clients that I have to say, stop doing this, because
like all those messages you get in your DMs. Like, well, oh, so, hey, you want a million followers?
Yeah, exactly. And people buy into it. And the thing is, I think businesses are thinking, and I understand this logic, if they have a whole bunch of followers and a whole bunch of likes, then people are going to see that and say, oh, they must have a great product. They must have a great service. People can be the case sometimes, but for the most part, people aren't dumb
right.
When it comes to, if you have 600 likes on something and 0 comments, people are going to know you pay for that, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a whole bunch of followers and no engagement, people are going to know that you pay for that. And in the end, what it does is it damages your authority on a subject. People are going to think, well, they don't know enough on a subject to be growing organically, so they have to pay for their followers. And that loses your audience's loyalty too. And you're not getting conversions from that,
right?
More followers does not equal more conversions. It does not equal more money, right?
Well, and I think people think that like the algorithm is if you have more likes and more followers, you're going to be seen more.
Right. And that's not the case.
No. So Instagram's kind of wise to this stuff, right? So you can pay for views. You can pay for things like that. But the more things in social media is already changing. So the more often something happens, the more Meta will pick up on that, which, you know, Meta is Facebook and Instagram, right? And it will change and rework things. So, for example, Instagram allows 30 hashtags. And it used to be you wanted to use all 30 hashtags. But then people started throwing in hashtags that had nothing to do with their content. They started just putting in things that they think would go viral, like hashtag viral, hashtag trending. And Instagram's like, this isn't helping people find what they need.
Right.
So now you really want to stick to, you know, like 6 to 8 hashtags that are really for your content to let Instagram
I actually
know.
Now, because of the last time I heard you speak on this,
yeah,
look for hashtags with less uses.
Right, exactly. You don't want to be buried.
Right, and I would never really thought about that. So I'd be like, oh, support small business.
Yeah.
But like support small business has like 10 million uses.
Right, so then you get like, a little crafty, like support small women-owned business. How? I mean, I haven't looked that up, so don't worry. But
I'll be like, support small business Rochester, because like, then you're like targeting the people who are in your area.
Right.
Or, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Small businesses want to stay within like the 250,000 or, you know, less range, maybe 500,000 sometimes. It never hurts to throw in one hashtag or that's like used a million times because you never know what's going to pick up.
Right.
But in general, yeah, you're right. You want to use, you don't want the hashtags that have, you know, 5 billion uses because you're just going to get buried.
Right.
You know, so unless your first tip just taught us like 10 things.
Yeah. So in 5 minutes, you've already got your money. Not that you pay to listen to this, but you've got your time's worth because time equals money.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
I would say another thing that small businesses do, you said 3 things, right?
Sure.
So the second thing is there are a lot of small businesses that want to use content creators that are starting to realize that, you know, influencer marketing is a multi-billion dollar industry. So they do affiliate marketing. And affiliate marketing can be really great for a lot of businesses because you don't have to pay the influencers unless they actually bring in, you know, your customers or sales.
Can you explain that, Mark? I don't know what you're talking about.
So affiliate marketing basically is when you, let's say you have a product and I don't know, let's say it's makeup, it's a mascara. You find influencers in the field, the beauty field. You say, I'm going to give you this mascara for free, quote unquote,
right?
Because you're asking for their time. And then I'm going to give you a code for your followers. And for every follower that buys my product, I'm going to give you X percentage.
Gotcha.
So a lot of small businesses think that's the way to go. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do affiliate marketing. You can't just throw your products at people and hope to get conversions. You have to make sure they're in the, you know, the right industry. And the other thing is when you're not paying for influencers or I shouldn't say influencers, when you're not paying for content creators, this isn't always. There are a lot of really great people starting out that make good content for free, but they tend to be less reliable. They might not post on time. They might not have like quality control with their lighting and their transitions and their whatever. So you're not getting the content that you want. And a lot of people forget to ask for collaborations. They forget to ask for copies. They forget to ask for raw footage. So, which you can't really, I guess, if you're not paying the content creator. So affiliate marketing is a good way to go if you really know how to utilize it and how to do it and you really research the content creator beforehand. But otherwise, I would say you have to spend money to make money.
Right.
Right. You want a content creator that knows what they're doing and it's worth it to go the extra mile if you make sure to research them. So I would say that's the second thing that I see a lot of businesses doing wrong or that could be hurting them. And then the third thing I know you guys have heard over and over and over again, I'm sure, is not posting consistently. And you will be penalized for that, right? If you decide to take a break from social media, you're essentially, every time you post, you're working for, and I use Instagram more than, I'm saying Instagram because mm-hmm. that's my main platform of choice, but anytime you post on any social media platform, you're working for them for free because you're keeping people engaged and on their platform. So as mm-hmm. soon as you stop posting consistently, well, they're going to quote unquote pay their more loyal mm-hmm. posters, post the mm-hmm. people who are posting. Yeah. Before they're going to pay, quote unquote, you by pushing your stuff through the algorithm. Huh. So you can get penalized for not posting consistently.
So what is consistent? Is it every day?
Yeah, it is.
Is it multiple times a day?
People will disagree. There are some people who will disagree with me on this. And you'll always find people have different opinions on how to post and when, whatever. Posting consistently every single day, it will help you grow faster. Posting multiple times every single day will help you grow faster. There was this one content creator who said, I saw her reel and she was like, here's how I grew from 1,000 to 30,000 in 1 month or whatever. And one of the things she said that really resonated was, and it was exhausting, but she posted three reels a day, which who has time for that?
That Nobody was my next question. Right. Is reels versus posts.
Yep. But it's true. During the height of COVID, when I was completely isolated, I went on TikTok and I grew from 0 to 52,000 followers in just 2 months. And then, you could go out again a little more and work started and la la. And I stopped posting completely. Mm-hmm. And now getting back on and I used to be disappointed if I got 10,000 views. Now, if I hit 1,000 on TikTok, I get so excited.
I'm excited if I have 10. Of course, right? We're not consistent on TikTok. Right.
But that's what happens. Mm-hmm. The more consistently you post. My agency has this influencer, Amanda, Cheese's mom on TikTok. And I think Cheese is her dog. And she posts pretty regularly on TikTok. And, her views, skyrocket compared to how much she posts on Instagram. So, it really is a thing.
And does she share her TikToks on Instagram? Does that affect your algorithm if you're just sharing through the different?
Yeah. So you can definitely recycle your content. It's that easy.
All the tips. Just I feel bad asking.
I know.
Don't do it with a watermark.
Right.
And I'm squeezing my head because it just drives me crazy. It's not to say that a video or a TikTok or a reel can't go viral with a watermark because sometimes it happens, but it is less likely to get those views because it's not to say that you won't go, that it won't pick up your piece of content, but it's just less likely because think about it. If you were on Instagram and you see a TikTok watermark, why would you help support that other platform and vice versa? And then there are watermarks I'm not going to give names, obviously, but I saw a post the other day that was a decent post and it had a CapCut watermark, which CapCut is mm-hmm. an editing tool. Don't just cut it out. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. You can use the system to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you should not be posting content with a watermark. And, people do that just because it's quicker, but it looks less professional. It can hurt your chances of being picked up by the algorithm because not only do these platforms want to see content that's created on their platform, but they also want to see content that looks professional. So, for example, I have a client on TikTok, and we repost our content creators content, right? But if you repost a content creator's content who posted on TikTok and then you repost it to your platform, it will tell you, TikTok will tell you that it is ineligible to be put, to be boosted and to be put on the For You page because it's not original content. Mm-hmm. So it will catch you sometimes. So that's just to say that they do look for professional quality content. How's the lighting? Is it original? All that. So
All right. I'm going to stop you now because you are such a generous soul. And I know you could spend this entire hour giving advice, but this is your business. So
I want
to thank you.
To do well.
Those were, we wanted to start out with a good hook. And that was incredible.
Every single time you speak, mm-hmm. I learn something new.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
You even repeated things you've already told us that mm-hmm. you said it differently. And I'm oh. I got to do this differently.
Or I take the note that I need to do it, and now I'm understanding the why, because sometimes I need that. Do I have to really do more work? Yes, and this is why.
Oh.
I'm glad I could help.
So how did you get started in all of this? Is this something you always wanted to do? Like, what was It Girl Friday was the first business, right?
Yeah. So people ask me this question all the time. They're like, how'd you get into content creating? Did you ever always want to do it? Like, no, I didn't. I went to school for medieval studies. I really liked medieval studies.
Oh, wonderful.
I wanted to transfer to Oxford for the classics, took the tour and everything.
Medieval studies. You don't hear that very often.
Yeah. And I still love it. Mm-hmm. You know, I still love it. But the first thing I really, really wanted to be ever since I was a little girl was an actress. I lived in LA twice. I lived in New York twice. But I went to college for medieval studies because I thought people are going to cancel me for this statement. But I thought nobody cares unless I'm teaching acting. Nobody's looking at my resume and seeing where I went to school for acting, like,
right.
or unless I'm doing like Broadway, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Or stage for film. They want to know that you've been in things. They want to, you know,
right.
they don't, if you're good, you're good. If you're not, you're not. I was not good. But I don't ask me to cry on cue. It's not happening. But so I wanted to be an actress. And then, you know, social media became this big thing. There was Vine. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, uh-huh. Vine. It was like 3 seconds.
Yeah. And I was like, this is kind of like acting. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like acting. So I picked up Vine and I liked it because it was, you know, my own script. It was my own, you know, platform. And that kind of evolved. And this is – doing content is the closest thing I can do right now to acting. And it makes me feel happy again like I felt when I was acting. And it really just started with me creating content for myself. And then I started, you know, taking over people's social media platforms. They were like, oh, that's kind of cool. Could you make something like that for me? And then I started doing social media management. And then – social media management evolved into, you know, because that was IGF marketing, mm-hmm. evolved into the local influencer tour because when COVID happened, people were losing business and people in my community that I really cared about were losing business and things were closing down. And so I thought, what if I can bring them content and help their business? And it was just supposed to be a tour, like going from city to city and bringing local content creators to the local businesses. And that was supposed to be the business. But then after the tour, I had people say, I would work with these people again. How do I do that?
Right.
And so it evolved into an agency. And then the agency became so big that IGF marketing kind of trailed off. So now I'll do like lectures and things on the side. But I completely stopped social media management until a couple of my clients that I did content for were like, but like, could you?
Right.
So I got roped back into it for a few clients, and now I'm going to be hiring so that I can continue it as an agency because obviously I don't really have the time to take – run your own social platforms. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is exhausting. You know,
yeah, it takes 100%.
So much time. Right.
So now we're expanding so that I can keep both businesses, IGF marketing and lit agency.
Oh, wow. But I think about different – people, and I know that as business owners, we all struggle with it, is having the people in place that are going to do the work that you would do.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that you're like, so like, for instance, Erica Sorbello is the world's best hair cutterist.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That is her title, actually.
I gave her that title recently.
World's best hair cutterist.
And there are plenty of stylists that are good.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, I just don't want any, like I've gone to other people. Mm-hmm. Her salon is full of amazing people.
Yeah.
But I just know what she's going to do to my hair and I just want her to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like, do you have a way that you're going to vet people?
Yes. Yeah. So there are people who, like I have clients that have specifically told me, I want to know that nobody's touching this account but you. And that's fine. And that's fine. I get it. But it's not like feasible to do that for more clients. Like as of right now, I can't take on another client.
Correct.
It's just, I mean, as far as lit agency, I can because I have all these influencers, you know, across the United States who can make the content for me. It's an agency. But as far as IGF marketing goes, managing people's social accounts, I just can't.
Right.
So it is important to have that. Now, I think the clients I have now, I would only take care of their platforms. But a new client coming on, you know, would know that it's an agency, like a marketing agency. They would know that in advance. And they, with that knowledge going in, if something happened that they didn't like, they'd be able to tell me and we'd be able to fix it. But I think
this is the person you're getting paired up with.
Right, exactly. But I think it's super important, like you said, to vet people, because if they don't align with you, that mm-hmm. doesn't work. So one of the unique things, as far as I know, like super unique, especially when it comes to Rochester area, about my social media management packages is that it's social media management and content creation in one. So a lot of social media managers, what they'll do, and it's totally fine, and it works totally fine, is they will take your stock photos, your stock videos, and sometimes they'll shoot like, you know, product videos and stuff like that, and they will create that content and post it for you. With mine, you're also hiring an influencer content creator. So usually the people who come to me want my face on it as well. So the clients I have, like I said, I created content for them first, and then they kind of roped me into, you know,
you were already
managing their social accounts. So, which I love, I love doing it. So you're also getting influencer marketing with that. So like they'll send me a product and I will create a piece of content as though I was doing it for, you know, Lit Agency, and I'll use that on their platform. So whoever I vet and whoever I end up bringing on has to be comfortable with that, because that's what makes my company unique compared to others. And I don't want to lose that edge.
Right.
So they have to be comfortable with their face being.
Well, and as a business owner, I've worked with people before that I've hired on to try to help me. And they're like, well, give me all your stuff. Send me all your stuff. And I'm like, but this is the part that's hard. Yeah. It's not posting it.
Right, right.
It's creating new stuff.
Right,
right. Exactly, exactly.
So I can post every day.
Yeah, yeah. And it's – and they should be – the. So of all my clients, I have this one – I have this one client in particular that always sends me stuff. And I'm like, you make my job too easy, man. Like, thank you so much. And you can't always have – somebody create, I mean, you can, but it's going to be very pricey.
Right.
Right. Right. So,
or just taking stuff and creating new things from it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Right. You should never be expected to submit to a social media manager something that you've already made. That's kind of then you could just post it yourself. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want to do that. So I have different packages. I have a maintenance one, and it really is just maintenance. So it's not gonna help you grow as much. But if it's like, if you say, I need consistency, I can only post half the time, mm-hmm. then I post you supplement. That's my maintenance package, right? The more you want original content, like created with maybe my face in it, or you don't have the time to send over your product or mm-hmm. yeah, employee's face, then the price goes up, goes up, goes up. Do you want 2 reels, 3 reels, 4 reels, 5 reels a week? I just recently, like as in last week after the company New York trip, I was exhausted. And I told my clients, I said, I want to let you know, I will no longer be working on the weekends, and neither should you. Mm-hmm. So I just recently made that switch. But, you know, reels can be, you could put it in and just post without making it. But as far as like creating the content that day, I think it's important to have like a work-life balance. So, but all that to say, so the more original content you ask for somebody, the more the price is going to go up.
Sure.
And I've found that, you know, most of my clients are like over the United States or international. I don't have a lot of clients in the Rochester area because it's pricey. Mm-hmm. It's pricey. And, you know, people in New York or people in LA or people, you know, or you know, in, I don't know, Philly or whatever, they kind of understand that. But it's, I think Rochester is still kind of learning what influencer marketing can do for somebody.
I want to go back to the fact that you keep mentioning reels. Do you post posts at all, or do you just post reels?
I do. So I think it's important to have an aesthetic Instagram. A lot of people post reels and then they won't, because you get the most growth from reels. I always recommend reels. A lot of people will post reels and they'll keep them up on their page. I believe it's important to have an aesthetic page. So I will post a reel. I'll keep it up on the main post page, on the main feed for like a week or so until it starts to go, you know, plateau, sometimes 2 weeks, whatever. And then I remove it from the feed page. I don't delete it. You can remove it from the feed page, so it's just in your reels section. Because your photos are really what makes the The photos are there to look pretty.
Right.
They're
right.
to show and off your product.
Like they're like a weird.
Right. Now you can add, which I always recommend.
Like the stagnant
covers.
Image. Yeah.
Yeah. You can. Yeah. Yeah. So you can totally add that. And that's going to make your reels look just nicer and, you know, more cohesive. But I still recommend removing them from your main feed and making your main feed as beautiful as you possibly can.
Right.
Because that's what people are going to see first. And that's what is going to draw them in. So unless you're like, I don't know, a stand-up comedian or something, you know.
Or you want it like all video.
Right, mm-hmm. right. That right. I definitely recommend keeping those static photos there. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to circle back. You go circle back first.
I'll circle back. So I totally agree. Rochester is amazing, but we are
Love
still
Rochester.
Learning.
Well, we're a small, we're a right. small to medium.
Right. Yeah, you can't compare it to like New York.
Right. And I feel like if I went out maybe in my community where I live and asked five random people on the street, what is an influencer and what do they do? Most of them are going to get it wrong and they're going to be thinking of
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton. Or right? we were trying like, to remember the name of that music festival.
Fire yeah. Festival.
Like I feel like
the FYRE.
Is that the one that went really
It was supposed
wrong.
To be fake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it went very wrong.
Right. And I feel like there are still people, and I've talked to you about this and other people like that just don't understand what an influencer is because they're just thinking it is celebrities trying to make more money on top of the gobs of money that they have.
Yeah. I don't know why we didn't say them first.
Right.
By the way, we are not.
Because we're dating ourselves by saying Paris Hilton.
I know, but that was like the first.
Mm-hmm.
She was like the first person to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, she's classic. Yeah.
But I worry that's in that why it's taking some time is because people don't see it as a real real job. So when did that all change? Because so there's had to be a shift at some point.
Yeah. So I definitely think COVID had something to do with it because people were on social media more. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to say that COVID started it by any means.
Right.
But I think that's
brought
what started
it to light.
Yeah. Because you couldn't go out, you know, so people were always on their phones. So what better way to get across your product? I do want to say, I do want to specify that influencers, because I always use them interchangeably and I shouldn't. Influencers and content creators are two very separate things. You can be an influencer who's a content creator and vice versa, but not always. Influencers tend to have more followers and content creators tend, and again, this is not always the case. You can be both. And content creators tend to make more money on the average scale. We're not talking about like the influencers with the, you know, mass, like millions of followers. So sponsors are just throwing, you know, money at them to be seen. You know, if we're talking about the average influencer, the average content creator, creating content is like creating little mini commercials.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to know transitions, lighting. You have to know things like not having a watermark. You have to know things like the difference between a tag and a collaboration. Influencers, they post and they're cute and they grow their following faster because they're posting about themselves for themselves. People don't always want to see you posting a product. You know, that's not why they're following your niche. So there is a difference. And that's speaking of things that brands might not understand, that's, or might be doing wrong, that's another thing that businesses sometimes don't always get. And I do think they are catching on with UGC, user-generated content, which is meant to be filmed for the client and not put on your own platform. But seeing someone with a lot of followers does not mean they are the ones that are going to create the best quality content for your brand.
Right.
So that's a super important thing to know. You definitely want to see their packages and, you know, like
and
content
like what
creation.
They're creating. I do that for photographers.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever I'm like the vibe I'm looking for, I want to make sure the photographer has
exactly
gotten that vibe.
I have influencers and content creators apply for my agency all the time. And I'll say, you know, send me your media kit and they won't have one. And that's fine. You know, they're starting out. I'm not judging, whatever.
Right.
But that is why it's important to like learn, you know, what is a media kit? I'll say, send me, you know, examples of brands that you've worked for. And maybe they got like a free product and they're just like, I got this and I really like it because XYZ, but there's no transitions. There's no, you know, you can't just have a camera at your face at the same angle the whole time and keep people interested. You need, you know, motion, even if it's just zooming in, zooming out, zooming quick, quick, quick. People's attention spans are very short.
Oh, yeah.
So
I assume because I know the average person, and their mentality when it comes to owning a business anyways, regardless of what business it is. But I assume people look at you and they're like, you just play on your phone all day.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but then you hear all these things like that. I don't transitions and I, like there is.
And you are
high level
probably
stuff.
On your phone all day.
Let me tell you, my screen time is disgusting. The way somebody else. So A, I am on my phone the way somebody else is on their computer. Mm-hmm. I have a computer, but for the majority, I'm on my phone. I do everything on my phone. Now, multiply that by owning a business. There's no 9 to 5.
Right.
So, like, this sounds disgusting, but, and this is one of the reasons why I won't work on weekends anymore. There was a time where my phone told me, your screen time is up for an average of 12 hours a day. And I was like, ooh, no. But even my husband, you know, he'll come in and he'll see me on my phone and he'll forget that I'm working because I'll just be like on the couch like this. Or, you know, I have an office area, but sometimes I'm just on the couch.
Yeah, you could sit anywhere.
Exactly. And he'll get into something and then he'll realize that I'm kind of flighty with my attention. And I'll be like, are you working? I'm like, yeah, sorry. He's like, no, I get it. You're in the zone. You know, I'll save it for later. So it is difficult. And I think it helps to have friends who know if we're out, like during the week and we have lunch and all of a sudden I'm on my phone, that friends that know that I'm not just texting or ignoring them or, you know, and I've had to do this thing where I'm like, hold on. I want to hear everything you're saying, and I want you to have my full focus. So if you give me 2 seconds to respond to this email, that would be great. But yeah, some people just think I'm obsessed with my phone. Like random people, they'll think I'm just obsessed with my phone. And it's just like, oh, no, but I'm working.
Right. So I just have to say, your phone is here, and it's facing – I can see your video.
Yeah.
So you get so many pop-ups.
Yeah.
Like notifications on your phone. And I'm like, I just want to like be like, can you just turn your note? Like not for me, but for you. Because I had to, even with my stuff, I'm like, I have to take all notifications off.
Yeah.
I set time to look when I'm going to do social media, when I'm going to do email. I'm like, I have to turn everything off because I'm constantly found myself feeling like I had to answer right away.
Well, I will tell you that even though I have notifications on for things that I need to for clients, this sounds awful because you'd think this would be the most important. I have my notifications shut off for texts. So when
it's like the one thing I leave on.
The one thing everybody leaves on. When I first shut off my texts, it was so unusual for my friends. They all thought I was mad at them because I would only check my texts like once an hour because I'll go down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. If I start texting, it's over. I've lost an hour of work because I'll start, you know, sending memes or then I'll, let's look at TikTok. I've already paused work for a second, you know.
Yep.
So I paused my text and everyone thought I was mad at them for like a month straight. I kept, all right, is everything okay? You don't respond as much. Like, no, I promise. I just shut off my text. So most people know now that the reason I'm not texting them back right away
is because.
Right. That's smart though.
But I will say, again, it all comes down to having friends that are supportive because I don't post in real time, right? So I'll get a lot of content from New York City. I'll get a lot of content from this client, whatever, and I stretch out the posts. So I would say one of the hardest things about being a content creator is, you know, like, okay, so for example, recently, and I won't go into it or whatever, but we had a family member pass. That was super difficult. I was exhausted from coming back from New York City and having to create and put together all my clients' stuff. And I just laid in bed and worked for like days. I worked from my phone in bed and my husband was very supportive of that, brought me food and everything. Well, I was like, I just want to relax. And I was sad and sometimes, you know, you're sad, you know? And you still have to post things where you're smiling.
Right.
So you'll have friends ask you like, you know, hey, let's go out for lunch. Let's get together. I haven't seen you, blah, blah, blah. And you'd be like, you know what? I'm just, today is not a good day for me. I'm really sad. You know,
but I saw this reel. Right.
And then you post a reel of you smiling and being like, look at what I go. And they're like, what's up with that? I just saw your post. And you have to explain to them. Yeah, I made that like a week ago. I still have to post it. You know, there are still deadlines.
Right.
Yeah.
And way more extreme in your case because of those things. But I think that's business ownership in general.
Yes.
We all the time, like, you're never here. I'm like, I'm always working. And if I'm not standing behind the bar or sitting at the bar, it doesn't mean that I'm not working. Yeah. So it's like one of those things. People just don't really understand that concept.
In the restaurant, there are things I was supposed to get done that aren't getting done.
Right.
Right.
And I have to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like kind of annoyed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not there.
Because you're doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody asked me the other day, they're like, oh, you own the restaurant? Do you like own it or do you work there?
What?
And I was like,
both? Sure. Yeah, everything?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, what? I don't understand that question. You own the restaurant? Oh, do you just?
Well, because, you know, you think about like chains and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
So they're owned by people.
Right.
That never step foot in.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people actually think that we're a chain.
Yeah.
Because we've been around for so long.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I can see that.
I just like kind of smiled and I was like, well, if mm-hmm. if you see me there.
Yeah. Right. Something's gone wrong.
I'm either going to the bathroom, mm-hmm. so I'm coming out front, right. or shit has hit the fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to do some damage control.
You know, mm-hmm. and I'm there for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I want to go there. I still want to go there and do content on that. What? Like, it's there's Corona upside down in a.
The Corona Rita?
Mm-hmm. Or it was a margarita or what?
Yeah, it's a frozen margarita with a Corona upside down in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, I want it.
Uniquely want delicious.
It. Yeah, uniquely. Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of frozen margaritas or Corona. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
I drink straight tequila.
Okay.
So,
nice.
So I'm yes. I'm in a different palate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a very fun drink.
It would mm-hmm. be, it's very Instagrammable.
Yeah. Very Instagrammable. Yes. So, yeah. I put a donut on top and some.
Wait, but that would make do that. Yeah. That would make an excellent piece of content, though, because who does that? Nobody.
Who doesn't like donuts and drinks?
Put it like on the straw. Stick through the straw like a lollipop. Mm-hmm.
I have a donut. I mean, I can make donuts for you. I can make that happen.
Christmas colored donuts.
I could, somehow? And they could be agave sweetened with agave. And
ooh, agave donuts.
Yeah.
That's all right, awesome. All right, Steph, are you listening?
Please do.
Agave donuts.
Let me know the second you do this because I want
getting written down.
That was one of my my COVID things. I tried bread and I was just not good at it. I'm a horrible cook. I'm a horrible baker. But I got this little like donut tin and I was like, I can make baked donuts. And I made a bunch of baked donuts.
Donuts with my face on it.
Yeah, I love it. I still have a picture of it.
What?
I'm eating her first.
Come on.
I made everything during COVID because I was so stressed out. And I have four kids at home, and the businesses were going, you know, and they're like, mm-hmm. so I just had to like keep going. So like every day I just made shit and I didn't want all this stuff in my house. I would just drop it off mm-hmm. and you couldn't like talk to anybody. So I made you donuts with my face on it.
Yeah. It's on your front porch.
That's awesome.
So mm-hmm. people just got random sweets for like 3 months until things. And then all of a sudden we had to go back to work like that. And we're like, shit, now we have to go back to work. But
that's tough.
During that time of like closure.
I cannot imagine what it was like for restaurant owners during COVID. I can't even fathom the stress.
Going work was worse. Going back was worse.
Yeah.
Really?
Because it was so stressful.
Right.
It's still stressful. It's still
a
nightmare.
It's a stressful job anyway.
Right.
But people were ridiculous. And the guidelines were changing. And then it depended on where your restaurant was located.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like county-wise.
And all the regulations and... Yeah. I said something yesterday because somebody was like, oh, we wish we could. We did this holiday market. I'm like, well, I really wanted to be here, but you didn't have enough room. I'm like, there's a lot I can do, but I can't create more space. I'm like, oh, I haven't said that since I had to have things 6 feet apart. People come in, they're like, why can't, like, you put me over there. You can do this. I'm like, I literally have to have these tables.
Is that
like,
still a thing?
No. But I was like, I haven't said that. And I used to be one of the things I said like 10 times a day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's not your table. It's like where your chair is going to back out. Like literally, I can't have more tables in there.
I didn't think about that.
So I'd always be like, I'm so sorry. You're frustrated. I cannot create more space. I'm just not that talented.
Well, they'd be like, well, you're not at 50% capacity anymore. You're at 6 feet. And I'm like, well, the average table is 3 feet apart.
Right.
So 6 feet is 50% still.
Yeah.
Still 50%. Wow. Do the math.
Yeah.
These are things I wouldn't even.
It was a shit show. But anyways, I baked a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
I cried a lot.
Yeah.
But do you still have your donut maker?
I do.
Because I got rid of a lot of the stuff because I was like, I don't have time to. I was Amazoning anything I could to make.
Well, it's just a tin, so it just sits with all the other tins I rarely use.
So you can make me some donuts. I'm
totally going to make you donuts.
With a face on it.
I want your face on it.
Oh, totally.
I'm going to commission you for It Girl Friday ones for my... Once I have an It Girl Friday party,
I love it.
It Girl Friday donuts.
It Girl Friday donuts.
Done. I'm sold.
I'm about that life. Total narcissist. Right. As I sip from my super sparkly local influencer tour mug.
I love it.
That actually was created for me by Queen Cole Customs. So I should give her a shout out for that because it's absolutely amazing.
It is. I saw you come in with that.
Was like pregnant and stuff, so... I'm really excited about her.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about how the work that you do and how it's perceived. So how would you define yourself compared to how the world defines you? It's our new favorite question.
So there's this, and I follow it too. I totally enable that platform. There is an Instagram, I don't know if you follow it. It's called Influencers in the Wild.
I love it.
It's so great.
Fantastic.
Influencers in the Wild. And all they, it's like other people filming influencers or content creators creating content. And it just, you know, it looks ridiculous.
Right.
I'll be the first to say, if I'm out in public creating content, I must look ridiculous. And I've always said that I will know I've made it if somebody sends in a video of me.
Hope in the wild.
Yeah, to Influencers in the Wild. If I ever see myself on Influencers in the Wild.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know you're there.
I think it's supposed to be like a silly thing, like look at these idiots type of thing. But I see them and I'm like, yeah, but I want to know what the final product was.
Right.
Right.
What was the final product? What was the final product? And, you know, some of them are just ridiculous, like a woman having her 6-year-old film her twerking on a beach. Stuff like that. That's ridiculous. But some of them, you really wonder what the final product looked like. Again, I think a lot of people, and I'm part of the problem because I use the term influencer and content creator interchangeably because I consider myself both, they don't separate content creator and influencer, right? So they don't think about the business aspect of it. You know, it's the same thing as a photographer, a videographer, you know, it's the same thing. I had somebody say, oh, you should do it for weddings. I said, they already have that. It's called a wedding videographer.
Right.
No, but like content, you should do like content, you know, like the zoom in of the videographers have caught on to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So although it was a great idea, like content creation versus videography, a lot of videographers have caught on to the fact that they can do more like content videography for weddings and they've, you know, enabled it. But it's essentially the same thing. You're creating a commercial.
Right.
A mini commercial. And I think people just think like influencer to the point where, and this is so bad, to the point where my mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
God bless my mother.
We talk about moms a lot.
Yeah. We love our mom. Mm-hmm.
She will tell her friends, oh, my daughter's an influencer. And I'm like, no, don't tell them that. Because if you were to go, I mean, my TikTok has like, you know, 50,000 plus, but if you were to, if she tells her friends that I'm an influencer and then they go onto my Instagram page that has less than 3,000 followers, they're going to be very confused.
Right.
So I'm like, no, tell them I'm a content creator. Like I make content for other people.
Yeah. Check out those accounts.
Yeah. Like check out my clients' accounts and their, you know, stuff. So.
And nobody really thinks about, we've talked about with photographers, the amount of time that goes into it after you've taken that picture.
The filming is a fraction of what goes into it, the editing.
So we did an amazing hour for Fringe Fest, and it's in my phone to go in on CapCut and like create content from it.
Yeah.
But every time I try to do it, I'm like, this is too much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have videos that I took over a year ago, and I will edit them slowly but surely because they're not for clients, they're just for me. And they're still not edited because it's like 2 hours of footage, and I do not have
I just
ADD.
Want the app to like tell me the good parts.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, here's the good parts, just cut those.
Yeah, I'm going to start hiring out for that.
Right.
Because at any time, like, a client asks for a YouTube thing, I'm just going to start hiring out. I don't know, I'll go on Fiverr or something if I don't have an employee by then because to do it because it's exhausting. Having to watch, I don't want to watch 2 hours of myself.
I know, and then like pick and choose, and then you gotta drag the little thingy.
Yes, yeah.
So our program that we use actually will create the cuts for you.
That's
and
awesome.
You can like highlight the words, and then it brings you to that portion of the video,
so cool.
And you can just.
Right.
You have to tell me what you use.
Yeah.
For
the podcast. I mean, it's not just podcasting, it's just video editing.
That's neat.
But yeah, I find it very fun because now I can just be like, we talked about changing and I was like, well, like, can they do that? Because I like this part.
Yeah.
So it makes me like little clips and I don't have to go through the whole episode because I don't always have time.
It's interesting you say that. Like you talked about changing and then, you know, I have that same problem. So when people are like, what app do you use to edit? Oh, I use like 4 or 5 different apps. I will put it into one for one thing. And then now that that's done, I'll take it and I'll put it into another app that does another thing. And one of my clients said, you should just make your own app that does all of it. I'm like, when?
Right.
Yeah. When am I going to do that? When do I have that time? I wish somebody else would do that.
Well, if someone's listening that makes apps and wants to hire you in as like a partner,
yeah,
and you can tell them what
I'm
you
in.
Need,
I'm in.
And they can do the back end coding, yeah. and I assume it's coding. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never made an app.
Well, like, it's like, not, I mean, as this grows, that technology is going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, yes, people need to understand the amount of time that goes into the editing and everything that they don't see, but it's researching that and it's researching trends. I mean, maybe it's mellowed out a little bit, but I feel like for a while it was like this many hashtag, no, this many reel.
It changes.
They use this word, don't use this. You have to like, it was not, it was impossible to keep up.
No, it
and you have to know all of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, 6 months is being generous. It, you know, mm-hmm. like you're so right. I actually came across an ad. Now, I'll get back to you as to whether or not they actually work. I want to read all the fine print because, again, I'm looking to hire. And it would be easier for me if I didn't have to hire, if I just, like, you know, there was somebody else. You know, I didn't have to worry about insurance and things mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
And I came across this ad. This company claims to be able to – that you don't pay a penny. You don't pay us 1 cent unless they get you sales. And I called. We had a discussion, and they said they charge $3,000 a month, but you don't have to pay a penny unless they get you at a minimum of $6,000 in revenue or whatever. Like, I don't – they're like lead generator. And I was like – I told him, I said, that's a pretty ballsy statement to make.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we made $22 million last year.
And that was it reminds you of Zappo, how like you hear that they will pay you to quit. They're like, here's $1,000 if you quit today.
Quit your job or?
Yeah, they train you. And at the end of the training, they pay you $1,000 to quit because it saves them money.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So like if you're willing to put in the effort to try to get $6,000, they get $3,000.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, I mean, I'll look into it more and I'll let you know.
So it makes sense as long as they're that good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
Content creation, apps.
Content, apps and stuff like that. Like, I don't have the time to go from app to app to app to do the outreach to whatever. And these people say that they can, you know, get leads and all this stuff. We will see. I'm going to read the fine print. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. I'll get back to you.
Awesome.
No, I'm excited. Follow up. Episode 2.
It's when we're drinking. When we go to the bar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that idea.
So how much time in your week do you spend on keeping up with all the crap that you need to know to be successful on social media?
I would say I work about 70 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why I need to
start
hire. And that's weekends. like on a nice day. So that's – now I don't work weekends, so – I mean,
your husband has to be happy with that.
That really helps. Yeah. But it's tough because one of the things I have to work on is knowing to be present because even when I'm not working, I'm working, right? I have my phone on me still. So, you know, if a client asks a question, I answer.
Right.
And I don't want to not answer.
Right.
Well, it's like even catering. If I don't answer the email immediately, they're going to find somebody else.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like 2 minutes to answer that.
Or once a month, once an hour, I'm checking my email even if I'm on vacation because I have to make sure. Or if there's a complaint or somebody, you know, has a serious issue, I have to answer immediately. So it doesn't always happen, but I have to check even when I'm not. If I'm on family vacation, I'm checking at least once an hour just to make sure I don't have to damage control anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unplugged is not really unplugged. No. Yeah, yeah.
But your husband is a small business owner.
Yes.
So he has some level of understanding.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, that's so helpful.
He's so supportive. And he's growing super quickly.
Why don't you give him a plug?
So his company is The Spice Project. He makes small-batched, unique blends, everything from, like, rosemary to, you know, ninja dust or dragon's breath. So he makes some, like, really cool blends. And he's always, you know, making these spices and going to markets and selling online. And, you know, The Spice Project is growing so much that he understands, like, my need for growth, too. I mean, his social media account is growing faster than my own personal social media account. It is crazy. I'm so proud of him.
Do you do content creation for him?
People ask this all the time. This is so embarrassing. So people are always like, you must be so – your account's growing so quickly. You must be so happy to have, like, a wife who does, you know, social media management and content creation. But the fact of the matter is I work so much
that I can't do his account.
Do you ever look over and you're like, you're doing that wrong?
Yeah. Well, so he will come to – when he creates stuff, he'll come to me first, and I do help him edit it, take videos. I do stuff for him. But what I suggested, and he started
doing
it.
That he should hire you?
No. Yeah, no. I don't have the time. But he uses influencer marketing, but he does like gifted. I know it's kind of embarrassing to say. Mm. He does gifted ones. Here I am running, you know, lit agency where we've got paid creators. But the fact of the matter is not everyone can afford to pay for creators. And if there are creators out there that'll do it for a gifted product. So he gives like micro influencers or like people who want to become like content creators his spices, and they make spice project videos and then add him as a collaborator. So if you go onto his content, his Instagram page, it's going to be just a slew of content from other creators. He doesn't do a, you know, he doesn't have to do any of that, right, which is smart. Like it is smart.
Yeah.
But he will have me like, and I was for a while, but I haven't recently because I've been so busy. He will have me go into the platform he uses to find them and vet the influencers first. So that is one thing I'll do is I'll say, they're going to waste your time. They might bring you money. They're going to waste your time. They're going to bring you money. Oh, that person definitely pays for engagement. That is a way above normal engagement rate. Don't trust them. Things like that. So that I will help him with. And he's like doing – he also does giveaways quite often. He's doing a giveaway now, and that grows his account too. Because, you know, you have to follow the person in order to enter. So
that actually made me think of another thing. So I know in the past, and I don't know if you still do it, the Instagram audits.
Yes, I do. So Instagram audits are great, and I think that if you don't hire somebody to do an audit for you, that it's super important that you do them yourself. I do sell like downloadables if you're not sure where to start on Etsy, It Girl Friday. I make Girl Friday on every platform, which is another thing I want to talk about in a second. But I do offer audits, and that goes over like, is your account optimized for SEO, you know, in Instagram? SEO isn't just for a website. Does it look aesthetic? Are you following too many people? Things like that. But that's another thing with that should be added to my audit is just telling people that in order to maintain a level of professionalism, you want to make sure that your account name is the same on all platforms. So if you're looking to start a business, before you secure your Instagram, make sure that your name is available across all platforms. You don't want any – it's super unprofessional to have a number after your name, right? Or a dot or, you know, things like that. You don't want a number after your name. It says that that name's already taken. So, you know,
make sure your second best or third or 18th best.
Exactly, exactly. So you don't want a number after your name. You don't want to be following more people than are following you because that looks like – you're following all these people and they're not even interested in following you back, right? So that says a low quality account. So these are all things we look for.
But you should be following some people as a business.
Yeah. So you, I mean, you don't have to be. You could be following zero if you want. I mean, the more of a gap you can put, but then you risk, you run the risk of being pretentious, right? Unless you're Selena Gomez or whatever, you know, you can follow people. You don't necessarily want to follow a lot. Like if you're following people in the industry, like I do, I follow people in the industry. I follow, you know, different clients, things like that. But you want to keep the gap as large as possible between who you're following. Unless it's a personal account, then follow whoever you want. But for a business account, the larger of a gap you can do without pissing people off or, you know, making them think that you hate them, the better.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think when one of ours was started was not by me, was one of my employees, and just started following all her friends. So when I am on that one, I'm like, why am I following? Like, why is this coming up in my feed? So that's something I'm going to slowly start changing. But I know that with the union, we follow so many because there's so many brands that we use for – or like our non-alcoholic drinks, that they are very quick to repost our stuff, and that's been really helpful.
Yeah, that's absolutely worth it. There are some friends I follow who have been like super supportive, and they repost and stuff like that. And I mean, I remember for a while I wasn't even following my family, and I had to tell them like while I was building, I really have to keep this ratio, you know. And they totally understood. And I followed them from a different account, you know, from a personal account.
But how many accounts do you have?
God, don't even ask. So many. I have so many accounts. I've got like my IGF marketing account. I've got my local influencer tour account. I've got my It Girl Friday account. My husband and I have our unconventional marriage account.
I love that account.
My cat has Wendy Cat IG or Wendy Cat something account. I haven't been on in a while, obviously. My potato is That Potato Pup. Like, it's dumb.
You have a potato account?
Yeah, my dog's name is Potato.
Okay.
Yeah. That potato.
Still interesting.
Talking about all of your Instagram accounts, and you mentioned your cat and your dog.
Yeah.
We're curious why your pigeon has not been brought up yet.
Everybody asked that.
Because we just want to know.
You don't have a pigeon account?
I don't have a pigeon account. I just, I don't even keep up on my dog and my cats anymore. So, but I feel like my pigeon's account would have gone viral.
Oh, can we talk about the pigeon, how you
listeners
got the pigeon,
don't
your
know
story
that you have a pigeon.
Yeah. About the pigeon?
So
I love it.
The construction workers were demolishing the porch, and they found a pigeon, baby pigeon in a nest, and they just placed it on the side windowsill of my house. I didn't even know. I opened my window, and I was like, God, what is this ugly thing? Like, I had never seen a baby pigeon before. I thought it was maybe a vulture or something.
Right.
I don't know. So waited. Mommy didn't come back. I was like, well, I guess this is my pigeon now.
Guess, well, naturally,
what
that's,
it was. Yeah. And it wouldn't eat no matter what I did. People were like, you could have tried this. You could have tried this. I was like, listen, I tried everything that I could think of at the time. In retrospect, maybe I could have made it like a fake mouth or something. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
But I had to feed my bird out of my mouth for like a few days and until I could wean it off, because I learned that pigeons are different than like sparrows or whatever. The mama doesn't go in and feed the baby. The baby feeds out of the mama's mouth. So that was gross, but it lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I would let it outside every day and it would just fly around and come back in at night. It always stayed around the house, around the porch, until one day it got like attacked by a hawk. So now I have a little pigeon harness so I can like walk him outside and stuff like that. He like will sleep next to me on the pillow. No, I shouldn't say he.
I was going to say, do you know if it's a boy or not?
Well, it's very tough to tell, but while I was in New York City, my husband sends me a picture of eggs, little pigeon eggs.
Oh.
So now my loving pigeon that used to give me morning kisses and night kisses and sleep next to me likes to attack me anytime I come near the cage.
Wow.
So she does not know they're not fertilized.
I was going to say, what happens? Like, they just lay eggs and wait to get...
Yeah, I wait until, like, she goes and eats when she's off the eggs, and then I take them because they're not going to hatch.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have since learned that pigeon eggs are a delicacy, so I'll let you know how they taste. It feels a little weird,
we eat chicken eggs.
Right, exactly. So, and actually,
ostrich eggs, yeah. Like, that's a delicacy.
I wish I was wearing them today. Earlier, I talked about Amanda, Cheese's mom, who is on, you know, TikTok and posts, you know, pretty regularly and whatnot. So she also owns Tiny Woman Creations, where she hand makes jewelry. And for my birthday, which was on the 4th, so not too long ago, my husband commissioned her to make pigeon earrings.
We met her. She was at the one at Pop Rock.
Oh, yeah,
like the last one, yeah.
She's so talented.
So talented.
Now I have pigeon earrings. And as far as I know, I am the only one on this planet that has Tiny Woman Creation pigeon earrings.
So. I would imagine that is true.
I just want to see you, like, walking down the street with a pigeon on a leash.
I know.
Oh, it's great. But I can't get anywhere. You think it's bad when people walk a dog and people are like, can I pet your dog? Psh, forget it. We tried bringing Chippy, that's the pigeon's name. We tried bringing Chippy to a market once and, like, people don't pay attention to your spices if you've got a pit. You would think it would draw people in,
right.
And then they would, no, like, all they want to do
you
is
can
pet your pigeon.
Pidgey nobody if you buy or
yeah,
Chippy.
You're right.
You
that's what spices. I should say. Yeah, yep. That's what I should say. Nobody wants to pay attention to anything but the pigeon. I can barely enjoy myself.
Wow.
Yeah. So I still take him out sometimes for walks, but it's got to be when there aren't a lot of people around. Otherwise, I can't actually walk anywhere.
Right. Jeez.
Chippy. Well, pigeon was definitely on my list of things to make sure we touched base on. Because
if anyone's planning on getting a bird, I know it sounds unconventional, but a pigeon really is the best bird you can get. They're so loving. They're so smart. Yeah.
How would you go about even doing that? Because they're not finding that in a pet store.
So I found out in all the hours and hours of research I did that there are people who breed and sell pigeons because they are such great pets.
Well, rats, right? Like,
yeah.
You get a pet rat.
Yeah.
Mice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. They say that they're what, like the rats of birds or bird rats? And rat pets are supposed to be amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My kids are trying to talk my husband right now into a pet rat.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I was like, go for it. Can it be albino? I want one with the red eyes. Mm-hmm. Make it extra
creepy.
Oh,
yeah, super creepy. It's very easy to get somebody's, you know, information, obviously. But I don't freely give it that much because the more your account grows, the more you get haters. And children are, whether children or adult, people are very bold behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
So I have gotten death threats. My TikTok has some very feminist content on it. And, you know, some people don't like that. And so I had somebody, I'll never forget it, tell me that he was going to set me on fire while I was still on fire and still alive. He was going to cut off my dog's head with a machete, so I had to watch my dog die.
Jesus.
Yes.
Holy shit.
And 1 week later, there was a homeless person sleeping outside my window at my old place, so I obviously called the cops because I was like, I'm not taking any chances.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know if it's a homeless person or if it's like that person that, you know, threatened me. And it was right outside my bedroom window, so I was on the first floor, so that was creepy.
So you will not get Hope's last name on this
But yeah, I would say next, we are expanding. We are going international. We've already had international clients, but we're going to... Yeah,
we're going to
slow down like, here.
That's kind of a big deal.
It isn't. I don't know. Like, I mean, it is a big deal. We're going to start getting international content creators. It's daunting, just like tax wise, and I don't know how. I don't know anything. I got to get an accountant. I'm just the baby.
I didn't even think about tax when you said going international.
I don't even know how this works. How does that work? Yeah. I don't know. I got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a kid, like in my body. I'm just inside. I'm just like a child still, and all this stuff is
having fun making content.
Yeah, right. All this stuff, all the financial stuff sucks. So we're gonna be getting international creators. There's already one in Norway that we're speaking to right now. She was on like a reality show, and she's like super beautiful and a lot of fun and just like a huge personality. So, but I won't give too much information about that yet until you know it's possible. Yeah, teaser. So we're going to be doing that and hiring more creators. I'm hoping to at least double in size by the end of next year with creators. Originally, I wanted to keep it small because I wanted to make sure that all my creators could get a constant flow of work. But what I didn't anticipate is that, and I vetted them for this, so I should have anticipated it, is that my creators don't just take any job to get money. They only take jobs that they, with campaigns, with products and services that they identify with, that they feel their audience will really resonate with their audience. And that's important to my company, but that also means that they say no to things.
Right.
So what do you do when your client's like, I want these five influencers, I want these five content creators, and only two of them actually want the job, right? Not everybody wants to model lingerie or do content with lingerie. Not everybody has a pet, right?
Yeah.
For, you know, somebody who maybe wants to sell dog treats or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we're going to at least double in size this year and take more creators. Also, a lot of brands want creators that are based in their area or at least whose followers, who have a percentage of followers, which we show in their media kits, that are in that area, especially like ones that deal with like cannabis. They want people that can go into their store, things like that. So,
well, it's the same thing with restaurants, right?
Yeah.
It's like paying for followers never made any sense because I want followers that are local.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so we definitely want to do that. I also want to continue on with the local influencer tour, which is how this all began.
Mm-hmm.
So by going to cities and, you know, connecting brands with influencers that are local, as well as the concept was all the influencers be local with the exception of one. And that one creator is the one who did the best as far as like engagement and stuff goes from the last tour. So that way you do get at least one creator that's, you know, from the outside. Funny because coming in, you were like, what's going on next year for spring or whatever? And I was like, oh, nothing, same old, same old. And then I'm like, well,
international.
Yeah. So we're expanding and that is very cool, not terrifying at all.
No, never.
I'm an adult. I can handle it.
You're getting employees and going international. Mm-hmm.
Totally fine.
You'll be at Focus
and
Fortify.
Presenting at this amazing conference in March.
Super excited about that.
You'll be at Focus and Fortify in Rochester, New York.
I had a really good time the last time I came and spoke at one of your events. And I'm really excited.
And last year's conference, you were like the biggest hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you stop
it. No, and that was that really began my obsession with you for sure. Because I had known of you and, you know, interacting in the community. But like that was like, cool.
I think we've done 3 or 4 events with you. Mm-hmm. I can think of 3 off the top of my head. And then I know we're doing this one. And I swear, like I said in the beginning of this interview, every time you speak, I learn something new. Mm-hmm. And you'll speak on stuff you've already taught me, and I still learn something new.
Oh, right. Thank you.
So you have, like, the most outrageous amount of knowledge when it comes to this thing. And I think that it shows a lot about what makes you different.
Oh, thank you.
Other people may know it. I'm not saying that they don't.
Right.
But they don't express it.
Well, I also think that people are always like, you know, is this something I can find online? Is this something I can find online? I never want people to think that I just, you know, went to school and, you know, went to college for it. And
you can't. It changes every few months.
Yeah. It's all stuff that everybody can do themselves, but it takes so much time.
Right.
So when people are like, you know, why should we hire you instead of doing it ourselves? You shouldn't. If you have the time and energy to save the money and do it yourself and spend hours online researching the newest trends, keeping up to date, all that stuff, do it.
Yeah.
Go for it. I will always, listen, if you can put me out of business, do it, right? Because, you know, I'm always about people saving money. I'm the thriftiest person you'll ever meet. But most people don't have that kind of time. And this is not me trying to put down any other people in the social media field. But it scares me sometimes that I will see people use social media managers and that are making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That are making mistakes. And if it's a friend that's using someone, you know, I'll reach out and be like, hey, I'm not trying to step on any toes, but if you tweak this, this will help you. But I can't do that with strangers, right? And I want to see everyone, especially in Rochester, grow and be successful. And so when I see these mistakes being made by people who are being paid to make these mistakes, it blows my mind. And so, you know, you always say, oh, you're giving away too much information. This is your job. It's because I don't want anyone to make, even if they're my competitor, you know, so to speak, whatever, I don't want them to make the mistakes too, because then they're hurting somebody else's business.
Right.
Right.
So when everybody wants to grow and, you know, maybe that's like the hippie in me, whatever, but.
Well, but I mean, a strong small business community, everybody's going to do well. You'll do well for that. So it is very important.
And we both agree with that philosophy. Mm-hmm, like you can take all of my knowledge.
Yeah.
And open up your own place. But you're never going to recreate what I have because I'm doing it.
Exactly. You have
organically.
Your own spin.
Yeah.
You have your own. Yeah.
I'm like, here's all of my recipes. People are like, what's your margarita recipe? Well, here it is.
Yeah. Good luck making it the same as me, though.
Well, and like, people don't necessarily want to make them at home. Like, they think they do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like making bread.
Right.
Yeah. I want to make bread.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to spend $7 on the organic loaf at the local grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. I'm not making my own food. I'm lucky. My husband makes me breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But with all of his spice project seasonings.
Do you both work from home for the most part?
For the most part, he and I are both growing. So, like, I just expanded to another office, and he's expanding to a new commercial kitchen. So we'll be seeing less of each other, unfortunately, in the upcoming
Which is why you can't work weekends.
Right.
Which is why I can't work. Well, but he does the best on weekends.
Right.
So that kind of sucks, too. But we definitely need to reconfigure for, like, family time.
Or maybe it's you don't work Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah.
Right.
I might have to find out what his
Our weekend is generally Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, generally everything's okay at work on Sundays, and then Monday we're closed. Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah, it's tough having, I mean, it's tough, but it's great having both people in the relationship be business owners, because on the one hand, that means, you know, 24/7. But on the other hand, I wouldn't have it any other way, because it would be very difficult for someone who's not a business owner to be able to identify with and understand.
Because we're in business with our husbands.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And the one biggest bonus is that I don't think either of our relationships would be the same if we weren't doing it together, right, yeah, because it is such an intense thing, yeah, to own your own business.
How does that work? Does that work? I mean, like, I love my husband, but I don't know. We handle it totally differently,
but yes. Well, we don't have
hard being in business with your significant other.
We don't have kids, so it's a little bit easier to manage the time. Right. And we've always had opposite schedules. When we met, he was always working in bars, and I was working at Hillside. So I was up at 5:30 in the morning. So we were always really good at, like, these are the times of the day that I'm at my best.
Yeah.
So from 3 o'clock to 7:30, like, that's when we had all of our dates were during that time frame. And we have such different roles at each job. It's very easy to be like,
that's the way to do it.
Right. Yeah. So we're always kind of working, but it does help a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, but you always say that, like, well, we don't have kids, but we've talked about it. Like, I think it's got to be worse.
Yeah. It's not like we fill the time.
Like a reason.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm, I can't work from this time to this time because I've got something I have to do with the kids. So you don't have that, like, definitive
to get out.
Well, we have times where we, you know, we're really, our staff is great. We've got great managers, and, like, there is one day a week. This is just, you're just going to have to, if it's not on fire, figure it out. Or, hey, we've got this, like, on Thursday, we have 1,000 things we're supposed to do. We're making gingerbread houses. And we do it with my family every year. This is the first year without my father. In the past, it could have been like, well, you know what? Don can't make it, or he's got to come late because of something. Or, like, this is just a non-negotiable. I think we've got some non-negotiables, and we set those up.
If it's on fire, don't call either, because there's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
Call 911. That's what don't I used call to say. Right.
They'd be like, we won't call you unless it's on fire. And I'm like, well, I'm not how about town, just call so them? Don't call me.
Make a different call first.
Yeah. Let, like, me know after it's been handled.
Yeah. Right. It was on fire. It's now gone. So stay on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
when you come home, it's going to be a shit show.
My phone's going to be off. I'm not even answering that phone if I don't know, you know.
No, Aaron and I, it's 24/7.
Yeah, that's tough.
So we just keep moving through things. Mm-hmm. But, like, so we'll deal with family shit at work, and we deal with work shit at family, and it's just whatever time it happens to be. And I've actually been struggling with that a lot lately because I'm doing a lot. We do very different jobs, but I'm trying to navigate my time better. So when I sit down to focus on something, and he'll come in and, like, we've got a lot of balls in the air, and he'll come in and start talking to me about something, and I'm like, what do you know? Right. I need to get this thing done.
Yeah.
And I can't switch right now. Right. Like, I just haven't been able to, like, mentally bounce back and forth as well. So we've been navigating what that looks like, because he's not used to it. He's like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you? And I'm like, why can't you mold it? And I'm like, I can't.
One thing at a time.
I'm like, I can't. I just can't do it anymore.
Otherwise, it gets overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like that. One thing at a time. If I have a million things in the day and I start to feel like I'm going to get a panic attack, I'm like, let's start with coffee.
Yes, right.
And then what's the next thing on my list in order of importance? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to even think about anything else until that one thing is done. I'm with you on that.
And I have some severe guilt right now that we're in this conversation for all this time, because I'm having, like, a family crisis at home, and I know that he's got a ton of things on his plate today. And I'm like, I'm recording put my phone on airplane mode.
Yep.
So that it wouldn't buzz the whole time we were talking with little notifications popping up.
That's tough. Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, I have 4 cats, 2 dogs, and a pigeon, but...
But only one of your cats has an Instagram?
Yeah, only one has an Instagram. You have a favorite. I know.
Or just Instagram worthy.
She
takes better pictures.
Most beautiful, like, long-haired whatever. So, and the other two I didn't have. And then I haven't posted on her Instagram account since before we got the other two.
You're going to get fired.
Right, she is. But I can't imagine having, like, one human. Even one human. I cannot imagine.
I'd rather have a human than a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Shut your face. Sorry, are you serious?
Oh, that's okay. I don't understand.
I can't fathom that. That's crazy.
I would have killed Kelly's dog so long ago.
Oh, yeah, you would have.
I would have been like, so euthanasia is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. I love Lincoln.
Yeah, no, I get it. Trust me.
Yeah. It's way easier with a kid because I don't have that choice.
Right.
So you have to keep going.
Right.
Like, but with a dog, it's so stressful because I'm like, we literally, the last dog we had, within like the first week, she tore her freaking Achilles, like jumping up the stairs into the house. And I was like, so, like, how much is this going to cost and is it worth it?
Right.
Expensive.
Because I'm like, I literally have no attachment to this animal.
Oh, no.
I didn't really want a dog anyways. Right. So I like don't super care. Like, yeah, I love her. But I was like, I don't have $3,000 to pop on it.
Right.
And then like rehab and shit. Yeah, you're like. Lincoln's a college freaking education.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to think about how much money we've spent on our dogs. Yeah. But it's weird to hear you speak about dogs the way I feel about children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, 100%. Right.
Well, they just broke their leg.
Right.
Like, yeah. Can't it heal on its own?
Right.
I don't, and then, like, you know, what? Something happens to my dog, and I'm like, he has a cut. We need to bring her to the vet.
He looks funny. What's happening? Check his gums.
Yeah.
What's going on? He looks, got a weird face.
Yeah.
He's looking at me weird.
That's, yeah. Any, a little,
yeah.
Well, is her hair thinning?
Right.
I don't know. Do we need to bring her in? But, I mean, put a baby, like, my cousin had a baby, and so that baby's my cousin too, obviously. And so I like went to the baby shower because I felt like I was supposed to. And this woman comes up to me with the baby and is like, oh, here, hold. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to. I'll probably drop. No, no, hold on. I don't want to. Doesn't this woman shove this baby into my arms? And I'm like, you know what? It's my cousin. I'm holding this baby. I'm like, it's my cousin. I just need to hold him for a minute and I will feel some sort of maternal instinct.
You don't have to,
you know,
feel anything.
And I'm holding him. I'm like, it's not happening. I'm like, maybe if I give him a kiss. Everybody's talking about babies' heads and the way they smell.
They do.
I'm gonna
smell
give him
them.
A kiss. And there's a picture. Somebody got a shot of it. I think it was my sister. Got a shot of me like kissing this baby's forehead. And I waited.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now I will say, after this child was able to toddle around and have a bit of a personality, I would run into a burning building for this boy.
Right.
Like, I am just
so in love. Oh, no, maternal
so
instincts
in
don't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
I did not connect to any of my kids.
Really?
Nope.
Stop.
Nope.
There's
no
such
thing.
People need to talk about this stuff.
I do.
Yeah.
I had postpartum. I was like, yeah, like, I would die for you.
But also, you're just there.
But, like, I'd like to sleep. Like, yeah, can I sleep now?
Wow.
And then they start to like, it's like 2 months in, they like smile at you and you're like, okay, they like giggle.
Yeah, yeah.
And they start to like notice you when you walk in the room and their face changes. And then you're like the dog and you're like, oh, they look different. Should I take them to the doctor?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so weird to hear and cool to hear.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I had postpartum with my foster baby.
Wow.
Yeah. I was having all kinds of issues. And all of a sudden I looked at my husband and I was like, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having, because I had had three kids at that point. I was like, I'm in postpartum.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have never thought.
Yeah.
Wow. My mind's like so blown right now.
Yeah. No, it's not a natural thing. It doesn't just happen.
About kids. I don't know. If you could ask me how old a kid is and I'll be like, well, I'm going to say 3. This kid's 10 years
or
old.
Or 7.
Right, but you know how to keep a pigeon alive, so I think it's all relative, honestly.
Oh, what?
You fed
you have an instinct. It's
Do you want to know what I would
children.
Not have done for my kids?
What?
Fed them out of my mouth.
Right. I think there's you the t-shirt.
There's
the
t-shirt.
That's
the
only way to keep them alive. You totally would have.
I would have been annoyed by it.
Yeah. I too was annoyed by it. I felt like it was very difficult. Like my gag reflex.
I was going to say my gag reflex. Mm-hmm. I would have thrown up in their mouth.
Yeah, it was bad. But and then my mom, I'm telling her what I have to do. And doesn't my mom say, you should put this on Instagram. It'll go viral.
Did
I'm like,
you?
Mom, I'm not putting the. Yes, I did. I put it on, and it did go viral.
Nice.
All right, so if you can't find Hope internationally or can't make it to Focus and Fortify, you can check out the viral Instagram video of her pigeon eating out of her mouth.
Just scroll down. You'll find it. It's
nice.
Gross.
There somewhere.
What I will be doing as soon as you leave.
Might be easier for me to just send you the link.
Right.
It's so far down at this point.
Awesome.
Well, is there anything else you would like the listeners to know?
Well, I think they should come to Focus and Fortify.
Absolutely.
Because it is a great time with amazing women. I also, you know, what I also want to say, a while ago, like ages ago, you guys asked the Bossy members like, hey, you know, if you like the group, maybe can you send us a clip of you saying, you know, what you think about blah, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And I never did. And I think it's very important for if there are any like, you know, women-owned Rochester-based businesses to know that this is the group for them. You never know what to expect with women, and I hate to be the person to say that, especially since I'm a feminist, but you never know what to expect with humans.
Mm-hmm.
Now add, like,
the emotions of women into the mix. And you hear a lot of bad stuff about women groups. I've had friends tell me, yeah, I was in this photography group or that women-based photography, and everybody started getting clicky or catty, and it drives them off from wanting to, you know, get into another group. But there are no clicks or cattiness that I've experienced with the Bossy group. And butterfly effect. I don't know if I would be where I am today if it wasn't for the Bossy group and the networking, because it is a butterfly effect, and it's one person and then it's another. And then next thing you know, you're expanding and, you know, you might not have the confidence. And then this one person's like, oh my God, I learned so much from you. And you're like, wait, should I go forth? You know? So if you're thinking of joining a group or even if you're not thinking, you should think of joining the Bossy group. If you are a woman-owned business, it's just for Rochester, right? Or Rochester-based surrounding?
Currently, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We have some members in Buffalo mm-hmm. and actually outside of the state because yeah. people have moved and then stayed in the group.
Okay, but in general, it's mm-hmm. a Rochester-based group, and it's a great group. And the networking that you experience there is astronomical. In fact, I'm about to post that I'm ready for an accountant and see who can pop up for me, because I did it a while ago mm-hmm. and I never pulled the trigger and it's time. So I would like to, that's what I would like to say, is that this has been the best career move for me in Rochester is joining the Bossy group. And that's not even not even slightly an exaggeration. So
I'm not crying.
It's true, though.
It's very sweet. Thank you.
You change people's lives. Like, you guys must feel so empowered on a regular basis to constantly be changing people's lives.
We should.
We should. You really should. You really should. So, yeah.
It is our favorite thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Go you.
Okay. And this is our favorite thing that we do, honestly, mm-hmm. like getting to tell people's stories and like get their word out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love your takeovers.
Thank you.
The Bossy Instagram account takeovers. I'm like, first of all, that's genius.
I should probably put another one up.
Yeah.
I'll work on that
yeah.
this afternoon.
It's genius. It's a genius because, A, then you have content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. So yeah, it's like a marketing level, it's genius. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I got off this week.
Yeah. It helps people. You are able to get their audience as well,
right.
which I love. So, I mean, and it's a great hub so that they're not only seeing you as a business, but you're giving other people an outlet to promote. So very cool.
Well,
Bossy
you.
On Instagram.
How do we find you?
I am It Girl Friday on everything, with my other businesses being IGF Marketing on Instagram and Local Influencer Tour on Instagram. And same for the websites. So itgirlfriday.com, localinfluencertour.com. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I love talking to you.
I love talking to you guys. And I want in when you make the donut margarita.
Yeah. Yes. Got it. It's on my list.
Got
my donuts right in the top corner. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Live it, love it, lime it with Selena's Mexican Restaurant at the Village Gate. Come for the food, stay for the fun. Become a part of Selena's family. Selena's offers daily specials, happy hour at the bar, and catering, plus dietary menus for celiac, vegan, and vegetarian guests. Find out more at Selena's.com, Selena's.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bush, and I own Marshall Street Bar and Grill. Whether you're out celebrating with friends or looking for a catered event, Marshall Street is your number one choice. With board games, pool, darts, pinball, and 3 large screen projectors, you'll never run out of things to do. Check out our huge menu with over 60 items, including vegan and vegetarian food, 18 taps, unique spirits, and great daily specials. We've got something for everyone. Come see old friends or make new ones at Marshall Street Bar and Grill. You always have a home at Marshall Street.
What a fun episode. I hope you all learned as much as Kelly and I have learned over the years being a friend and just a friend of Hope's and learning and just absorbing all of her information.
She's fascinating. I love that she says to ignore those DMs.
You know, it's tough though. If you don't know that and you look at some of these things, you're like, oh my God, this person has so many followers or so many likes. And it's like, what do they say? If grass is always greener, usually because it's fake. Like it's just not real. Yeah.
It's AstroTurf. And it's not going to help your algorithm.
No, not at all.
Those bots are smart.
They really are. They really are. So hope you learned a lot. If not, or you want to learn more, come to Focus and Fortify
this March 11th and 12th, 18th and 19th in Rochester, New York. You will hear her and so many other small business owners talk about their knowledge and what they've done and share these amazing bits of information with you to help your small business.
Tickets are available, bossyrock.com, BOSSYROC.com. And can I walk Hope's pigeon? Do you think she'd let me?
I think she will let you do anything with that pigeon. That pigeon sounds amazing.
She recently posted a picture of the pigeon.
Did she?
I never realized how pretty they are. I always thought they were just gray.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, if you follow her feed, it's got like rainbows and purples and blues. And I was like, wow, your pigeon's really pretty.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up when we're done.
Yeah, don't let Harper know that I want to walk a pigeon, because next thing she'll
You're going to want a pigeon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't say it around her.
Pigs and snakes and lizards and no, it'll be a pigeon.
Yep. I mean, it sounds like a pigeon is a great pet, though. You may want to consider it over some of the other ones.
I know, right? Ah.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
Be the boss.